This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee, and I'm an emergency critical care veterinary specialist and toxicologist. Thanks for joining us today. Today, I'm really honored to have Dr. Tina Weissmer, who's the Senior Director at the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, and we're going to be talking about all things pet poisoning. We'll be right back after these messages.
Help your dog from the inside out with Caniotic Daily Probiotic for Dogs. Caniotic's superior and exclusive technology makes it the only dog probiotic from the dog for the dog. Your dog's gastrointestinal tract is important to their well-being, and a daily dose of Caniotic is one easy way you can support it. Caniotic, C-A-N-I-O-T-I-C, is available on Chewy.com. Add it to your cart today and give it a try.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
To ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. Really honored to have Dr. Tina Weissmer, who I know from the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center. Dr. Weissmer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I saw this recent publication that talks about all the things that dogs and cats get into. But before we talk about that, I wanted to just ask you a few things. First of all, since our audience can't see you, do you mind just giving us a little bit of background about who you are, where you trained, what you do, and your role at the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center?
So yes, I am a veterinarian by training. I am actually a Purdue graduate. And I worked in both daytime and emergency practices before joining the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center back in 1998. So I've been here quite a long time. I was able to become board certified in both human and veterinary toxicology through my employment here. And I used to be the overnight person and have now progressed to being the senior director and being in charge of all the veterinarians here on the hotline.
And I should say, in full disclosure, I'm also an independent contractor for the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center because I am so passionate about what they do. So, as a 24/7 Animal Poison Control Center, I know that you must get thousands of calls every single day on what dogs and cats get into. And I know recently with COVID-19, we're seeing a huge spike in calls to ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center. So what tips can you, first of all, leave us with in terms of how to pet-proof your house, or what are some of the top poisons you're seeing right now during coronavirus?
Sure. So getting puppies and kittens during being quarantined has been pretty popular. So we're seeing a lot of people who've adopted new pets, right? They're in a new household. And many people, unfortunately, didn't think that, oh my gosh, this new puppy or kitten can get everywhere in the house. So definitely pet proofing is important. You know, you think about these little puppies and kittens, they're kind of like, well, toddlers on speed, right? They go everywhere. They go quickly. They climb. Everything goes in their mouth. So making sure that there are not any substances they can get into, that they can't get under the counters, get in the cabinets. So things like baby gates, child locks, crate training your dogs are all important to keep them out of trouble.
What about cats? Are you seeing an increase in poisonings when it comes to cats during COVID?
So cats have been interesting. We have actually seen a spike in calls about lilies and cats, and these are true lilies. So one of the big things that people got into during COVID was gardening. So we're seeing a lot of people growing lilies, bringing them into the house. And unfortunately, in cats, if they, you know, get a hold of the pollen or the leaves or the petals, it can actually cause kidney failure. We're also seeing a lot of people sending bouquets, right? I can't visit mom, so I'm going to send her flowers. Oh no, the bouquet contains lilies and the cats are exposed that way.
I know when I order flowers, I always say there's a cat in the household. There absolutely can't be any lilies. And despite that, when I double check the bouquet, there oftentimes are lilies. So I wish more florists knew that true lilies are so poisonous. Now, when it comes to poisoning, there was a recent study that came out, and most pet owners wouldn't come upon this article, but it's called Companion Animal Exposures to Potentially Poisonous Substances reported to a National Poison Control Center in the United States in 2005 through 2014. And this was just recently published in a large veterinary journal. And I was interested to see that the majority of the poisonings were dogs versus cats. And a lot of the poisons that dogs got into were human medications, foods, and pesticides. First of all, do you mind just talking about dogs versus cats and how the poisonings may affect them differently? And then we'll talk about some of the human medications that dogs get into.
Sure. When we think about dogs versus cats, they do explore their environment differently. When we think about dogs, dogs are gulpers, right? They're going to eat something that hits the floor and then think, hey, was that food or was it not food, right? They usually don't think about things before they eat them. They also tend to be fascinated by, you know, things that make noise. We think about a lot of dog toys, they squeak or they rattle. Well, a bottle of pills rattles too. They chew into it and they get exposed. Cats are a little more selective about what they eat, right? You know, if you've ever tried to pill a cat before, you know, it's a lesson in frustration. So cats typically aren't big pill eaters, but they do enjoy ingesting plants. So we need to be careful about what house plants or bouquets that we have in the house.
So based off this study, I saw that the most common categories, again, were human medications for both dogs and cats. Do you mind just talking about the top five human medications and specifically what they would do or how they would injure a dog or cat?
Sure. So for dogs, the top five, number one is ibuprofen, the over-the-counter medication that we take for our aches and pains. Dogs and cats, too, do not tolerate ibuprofen very well. And we can see vomiting at just about any dose. With higher doses, we see stomach ulcers. And with more ingested, we can see kidney failure or potentially even seizures. So ibuprofen, you know, many of us take it daily, don't think about it, but it can be very dangerous for our dogs and cats too. The next medication that's pretty common in a lot of households are amphetamines. And we're finding these in things like ADHD medications. And, you know, a lot of people, they get busy in the morning, right? They're trying to get the kids around. You know, they're trying to get to work themselves. They go to give their children the medication and they drop it. And the dog or the cat goes ahead and eats it. So amphetamines certainly are high on our list. And with children, you know, it makes children focus. It makes children, you know, calm. It does the exact opposite for dogs and cats. We start seeing them become more agitated, high heart rates, high blood pressure, potentially tremors and seizures. So many of those animals do end up at the veterinarian. Another common medication that dogs get into is acetaminophen. So Tylenol is a common name brand, right? And this medication is certainly another one that dogs and cats don't tolerate very well. And with these animals at lower doses, we can see problems with our liver. At higher doses, it can actually change the blood so it can't carry oxygen. So animals that get into acetaminophen, we may notice that their gums look kind of a chocolate or purple color and they're having difficulty breathing. So they definitely need to see the veterinarian right away. The next couple of medications are benzodiazepines, right? So these are medications that include things like Valium, Alprazolam, which is Xanax, or clonazepam. These medications are commonly used to treat anxiety or to help people sleep. probably only one of the nice thing about this is if your dogs or cats get into them on a per weight basis, your dog would take a much higher dose of Xanax than you would. But it still can make them sleepy, wobbly like they're drunk, and potentially, if they get enough, have low blood pressure.
We'll continue with this really important topic right after these messages. Okay, I'll admit it. As a veterinarian, I don't brush my dog's teeth as much as I'm supposed to, but my dog loves chewing on treats. So why not give him a dental treat that offers more? Daily Dose is a 2-in-1 dual benefit dog chew that supports dental hygiene and full body health. With Daily Dose, your dog gets a daily dental scrub and powerful supplements to help with the biggest health concerns facing our dogs. Daily Dose was developed by veterinarians to be simple to use and super effective. Plus, dogs love the taste. It comes in 4 types, available for joint, skin, heart health, and calming. What I like about them? They have ingredients that I'd recommend as a veterinarian, and they're made in the USA. To help keep your dog healthier and happier, try Daily Dose, because one chew a day may keep the veterinarian away. Visit yourpetsdailydose.com to save $3 on your first bag with promo code ERVET. That's ERVET. It's more than a treat. It's a treatment. One chew a day for happier, healthier dog years.
Mojo would swallow things whole. A chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DINOVITE.com.
On the Dynavite, all of these symptoms disappear.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet. We've been talking with Dr. Tina Weissmer, who's a senior director at the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, and we're talking about all the things that dogs and cats get into, especially during COVID-19. We know that more dogs and cats have been adopted and fostered as we're all quarantined inside, and as a result, I know the ASPCA is seeing more poisoning cases. Dr. Weissmer already discussed some of the common poisons that dogs and cats get into, those human medications, those dangerous non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, Tylenol, amphetamines. Please, when it comes to medication, you never want to give any kind of human medication to your dog or cat without talking to the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center or your veterinarian. And again, it's because dogs and cats metabolize things differently, so it's going to result in severe toxicity or poisoning. Now, I know there's a bunch of foods that we're going to talk about, but we've already discussed lilies and how dangerous they are to cats. So these are true lilies. And we've talked about this before in a previous episode of ER Vet. So it's going to be your true lilies like Lilium or Hemerocallis. If you're not a botanist, you're not a master gardener like Dr. Weissmer, then those are the lilies that usually come in big florist bouquets that you buy from a store. So these are going to be day lilies, Easter lilies, Asiatic lilies, Japanese show lilies. When in doubt, you never, ever, ever want to bring them into a cat household. And that's because as little as 2 or 3 leaves can cause severe kidney failure. Now, Dr. Weissmer, the last thing I wanted to talk about are the deadly medications. And I will say, thankfully, the prognosis with a lot of poisoning cases, if a pet owner notices that their dog got into something poisonous or their cat ate something poisonous, I always tell people the sooner you get to the vet, the sooner we can diagnose the poisoning, the sooner your vet can call ASPCA for life-saving advice, and the sooner we can figure out how to treat it, the less expensive it's going to be and the less dangerous it's going to be to your dog and cat. So when in doubt, you always want to call your vet, your emergency vet, or the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center. Most of the time, the treatment is good. We're going to decontaminate them. We're going to induce vomiting if appropriate. We might hospitalize them for 2 days for IV fluids and appropriate medication. However, there are a couple of deadly medications that I wanted to ask Dr. Weissmer about. Now, in this one paper, it talked about a medication called fluorouracil and bifenthrin. Do you mind just talking about some of the most deadly poisonings that you see and just explaining to our pet owners out there what these two chemicals around the house could do to a dog or a cat if they got into it?
So fluorouracil, this is actually an ointment or a cream that you're going to get typically from your dermatologist, right? You put this on little potentially squamous cell carcinomas, little skin cancers that you can find typically on your face. So people think that it's an ointment. It's not necessarily dangerous, but it truly is chemotherapy. And when we think about chemotherapy, right, it's going to attack any rapidly dividing cell. And unfortunately, for dogs and cats, it only takes very tiny amounts to cause a problem. The amount that's left on a Q-tip could potentially kill a Yorkshire Terrier. So certainly, if you are putting this stuff on your face, we want to keep your animals away from it. And if they like to lick you afterwards, you really need to keep them out of the bedroom or ask your dermatologist for something else. But because this attacks any rapidly dividing cell, the first thing we see in dogs and cats is vomiting, potentially with some blood, and then it can actually cause seizures. And these seizures are very hard to control. So if we get our dog through the vomiting, the bloody diarrhea, the seizures, we then have to wait because sometimes this medication will also attack the bone marrow and you'll stop producing red blood cells or white blood cells and your animal could die from a bacterial infection from sepsis. So certainly fluorouracil, common name is Effudex, is something we do not want our pets around at all. The other insecticide that can cause problems is bifenthrin. And this is a chemical that's commonly used for ant control. Now, most of the products are labeled for outdoor use, right? They're granules or it's a liquid. And this chemical, if ingested while still wet or if the granules are eaten, can cause severe full body tremors, seizures, and potentially death. So if you're using any kind of insecticides in your yard or in your home, make sure to follow label directions and keep your pets away from it. Put the bags back in the shed or the garage where your pets can't get into them.
It's interesting. What concentration of this bifenthrin is dangerous? And is it more dangerous to dogs or cats?
So most of our cases with bifenthrin are going to be in dogs. However, most of our deaths are in cats. Dogs tend to respond better to therapy. And even low concentrations, like 0.2%, are enough to cause potential poisoning.
Any other dangerous poisons that could potentially kill quickly? And any advice on how to avoid them?
So probably one that everyone knows about, but it doesn't hurt to remind them, is ethylene glycol or antifreeze. This can cause initial drunkenness, followed by kidney failure and death. So if you have a car and you're changing the antifreeze, keep your pets away from it. Dispose of it right away. Don't keep open containers in any area that your pets can get into. And if your car has an antifreeze leak, take care of it as soon as possible.
Fantastic information. So good to know. Do you mind just leaving us a couple of tips again on how we can pet proof for both dogs and cat owners out there?
Sure. Pet proofing has a lot to do with training your own family, right? When you come home, when your children come home, the backpacks, the purses, the gym bags, they go in areas where your pets can't get them. When you're taking medication in the morning, right? Make sure the pet is out of the room or take the pills over the sink. So if you do drop it, it's going to fall in the sink and not on the floor where your pets can get into it. And if you're having a snack, especially if it's something like chocolate or grapes and raisins, keep those away from your dogs.
Now, what tips do you have in terms of should a pet owner call as soon as they find out that their pet is poisoned, or should they call from the lobby of the veterinary clinic, or who should call? And what information do we need during a call?
Sure. So typically, I'm going to recommend you call your veterinarian or the emergency clinic first. And if they need our help, they'll refer you to us. We can be reached 24 hours a day at 888-426-4435. And we're going to ask you quite a few questions. We're going to ask you, what kind of pet do you have? How much do they weigh? How old are they? Do they have any health problems? And what they got into? And how long ago? By asking those questions and getting your answers, we can determine, number one, is this something that's going to be a problem? Number two, can we take care of this at home, or do we need to see the veterinarian right away? And if you do need to go to your veterinarian, we will certainly provide you with a case number. So if the veterinarian has any questions, they will go ahead and give us a call back. We do charge a fee, $75, and that covers as many phone calls as we need about that one exposure.
I get asked this all the time, so I was just wondering if you could tell us, why is there a fee? And can I just call a human poison control or call my vet instead?
Sure. So we do charge a fee because we get approximately, as you said, thousands of calls during the day. So to keep both veterinarians, toxicologists, and our advanced support staff on the phones, we need to go ahead and charge a fee. Unlike human poison controls, we don't receive any state or federal funding. The one issue with calling a human poison control is you need to make sure that you identify that you're talking about a dog or a cat. They may or may not have any information for you. So I would recommend that you call your veterinarian first.
Right. And again, I just want to reiterate that because it seems like, why are they charging? Remember, it takes a lot of veterinarians, a lot of veterinary technicians, a lot of staff to be able to provide the service of running an animal poison control center and a nonprofit one 24/7. So I always tell people, it is so important that you pre-program your cell phone with your veterinarian's phone number, your emergency veterinarian, and the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center. So please write it down. It's 888-426-4435. And you can just find more information. I know ASPCA has a fantastic blog. They have great information on poisonous plants. So a lot of information that you can find there. And the great thing about calling is not only is there advice 24/7, there's experts to help, but sometimes they may be able to calculate if it's poisonous or not. And you may or may not even need to seek veterinary attention if it's not poisonous, or they may be able to give you instructions on how to induce vomiting at home. In a previous episode of ER Vet, we talked about how there is nothing you can give if you have a cat at home to induce vomiting. So for all you cat owners out there, you have to go straight to your veterinarian if your cat ate something poisonous. So when in doubt, again, please make sure to pre-program your cell phone. I also say pre-program your GPS in your car so it's also set to go to your vet or emergency vet. Because when something serious happens, we're all really stressed out and we want to make sure we have that information readily available. Dr. Weissmar, thank you so much for joining us today. Fantastic information. And again, so important that we make sure we're crate training our dogs, we're pet proofing appropriately, we're keeping those medications out of reach, we're hanging up that purse or backpack just to prevent our pets from getting poisoned by accident. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Find me at drjustinelee.com, on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Justine Lee, or email me your pet questions at drjustine@petliferadio.com. With that, we're out of time, and we want to thank our guests, Dr. Tina Weissmar and Mark Winter, our producer, for making the show possible. See you at the next episode.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.